to gather together. How good it is to sing and to pray and to give thanks to God for all of the good things that God gives us. May you indeed be at peace in this place of peace. May you find hope in this time together. May we be who we say we are. May we be people of hope, peace, love, and joy.
Thank you.
and allow the presence of love to surround you. Drawing your attention to the presence of God within you and all around you. Sometimes it's hard to believe that the presence of God is always with us. Sometimes we forget, and sometimes the sheer pain of the reality of our lives causes us not to believe. And sometimes we think we are not worthy. But the call of our faith, the call of our Master Jesus, sweeps all of those fears aside. God loves you. God is always with you. And sometimes when we forget, it is helpful to have other people around us to remind us, to shine the light of Christ for us when we cannot feel it ourselves. This is why we are here. This is why we worship together. This is why we try to live with one another. Because sometimes the alternatives bring forth such wild violence that it's too hard to believe. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news this week. We are here as an antidote to the violence of the world. We are here to bear witness to the power of God in our lives, to extend hands and hearts to one another, so that our pain will not turn into bitterness and will not bring forth violence. This is where the violence ends. I invite us then to practice our faith and to be bold in our vulnerability, to admit that we have joys and to admit that we have fears and concerns. We expose them and shine the light of love on them. I invite us to share as you feel comfortable. I invite you to share aloud your joys and your concerns.
Continued prayers for one of the members. members from the former Lester Park Church. Dan Smith is in hospice at St. Luke's. They had thought maybe he would be transferred to a different facility, but he is struggling, and they decided that he should just stay there as an inpatient. So prayers for Dan and for his wife, Gretchen.
Thank you.
child of God. And together we are a family. And so in this confidence we pray, as Jesus taught us, we pray to our common parent. We pray saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Fit in, you belong here, you matter, and so does everybody.
Unicorn.
Oh my gosh! You? Oh, I don't. We'll find out, won't we?
Four.
Black
panther.
Oh my gosh! What kind of
monkey?
Monkey. That's awesome. I love Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday. Did you know that? Everybody has their favorite holidays. Not everybody's is Halloween, but I love Halloween.
My favorite holiday is Christmas and my birthday.
Oh, those are very special holidays. Very special holidays. Did you know that Halloween is a high holy day in our Christian tradition? No. Oh, yeah. What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas, Halloween, and my
all the
and Thanksgiving.
You like all of the holidays. The 4th of July is pretty good too. You love all of them. You love holidays because they are holy days. Did you know that? They're special because they're holy. We take time to celebrate them because they have special things to teach us. Did you know that Halloween is part of a trium of holy days? What's a trium? We might ask adults. Do you have any idea what a trium is? Tridium. That's Latin for 3 days. So Halloween is one tridium. Do you know another tridium that we have in our Christian tradition?
Valentine's?
Oh, so close. No. Any? What? It's not in February. Oh, anybody? Adult? No. No? Not
Easter?
No. We passed out boxes UNICEF because UNICEF gives the money to people who need it in places where it's needed. And that is how we celebrate Halloween, knowing that we are not afraid, and we're not afraid then to give an offering, to receive money, to give it away, so that other people can have the good things that we have too. So, we will receive our UNICEF boxes. Anita, do you have a person you want to say?
Awesome. Thank you. And I've got a job for you guys now. What do you think it's going to be? Collect the boxes. Can you do it? Will that be too big a job for you?
No, you can do it.
You can do it? Okay. And I want to thank you guys in advance here for doing this. And we want to thank each and every one of the people out here for contributing to UNICEF, right? All right. You know what my favorite holiday is? Easter.
Oh.
No, Christmas is a close second, but I love Easter. That's my favorite time of year.
I love Easter too.
Okay. Are you ready to go? Okay. It's a mystery. Someday we're going to have to find out what those doors are. Maybe somebody can tell us someday what those doors are for. Okay. Are you ready? Now, I want you to go two by two. Two there, two there, two there, two there. And now, wait a minute. And when you get your baskets full, I want you to bring full of the overflowing. I want you to bring the baskets up to the front and put them on the altar. Okay, wait a minute. You guys can go. Oh, you got a Sam?
I will go see
Brenda
and see Brenda next
week. Yes, if you didn't bring your box this week, you can certainly bring it next week. We won't be seeing it in the end of the box. And if you've got coins, you're going to make noise. We take paper money just fine.
So, I know that you've all been collecting all month long, so now is a good time to just put your money in.
Right. Thank you very, very much.
Jesus, son of David,
Have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, My teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
I believe that every person is called by God. I believe that every person is gifted and graced by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that every single person, each one of you, is called by God. I believe that every one of you has gifts and graces. You have strengths and skills and talents and a purpose. And all of these things come from God. Sometimes, honestly, when I stand here, I am overwhelmed. It is a great privilege to be able to look out and see such beautiful people. You are lovely to look at. You are. You truly are. But it is beautiful to see. So many good things coming from one room. Sometimes it's like a power that just walks over me. Sometimes it's so bright I feel like I have to wear shades. And it's you that has the brightness. And it breaks my heart sometimes to know that not everybody feels that. That not everybody knows that they are called by God. And even more heartbreaking is that there are people who don't know that they have gifts. That they can't identify what they can do that is good, where they're skillful, or where they have talent. Maybe it isn't so hard for me to believe. It is hard for me to believe because I can so palpably see it. But it's not hard for me to believe that people feel that way because I know that sometimes I feel that way. I know I feel that way about myself. Like, it has taken me this long to be able to articulate, and sometimes I still can't even do it, to be able to articulate what it is that I'm good at. Or to admit that I have gifts. And I did this, I was still uncertain, even while I was serving as a pastor. And some days it's harder than others to be able to identify what it is that we're good at. And I believe my faith calls me to believe, and it has taken time. And it's been a journey of my soul in this body to be able to articulate what it is I'm good at. So it maybe is then no wonder. Maybe it is then that we all struggle to figure out what it is that we can do, what it is that's our purpose. And I know that we all have a purpose, that we all matter. You know how I know it? When we sing that song, you remember that song that we sang, "Here I Am, Lord"? I call it the weeper, because when we sing that song, something, I feel it. I get the feels, because I know that it's true. Here I am. I want to have a purpose on this planet. I want my life to be meaningful, and I want my life to be meaningful to God, and I want my life to bring forth goodness. If you don't know what it is that you're good at, if you're struggling with this, and really struggling with this, please come and talk to me. Because I want us to help, I want us to figure out, I want you to know, I want you to really know that you matter, that you have gifting and graces from God, that you have a purpose. I'd love to talk to you about that. We're talking about calling and vocation today. And I wanted to use a different scripture passage. I was going to use the regular generic kind of scripture passage from Mark, where Jesus calls the disciples and Jesus says, you know, "You're fishing now, but soon I'll make you fishers of people." And it's a good one. It helps us remember that Jesus is calling us. And this is the lectionary passage, the passage that James read for us today. And I'm kind of off lectionary with this sermon series. And this is the lectionary reading for today. And I disregarded it until I read it again, and I read it again. And I chose this scripture passage because it is a different kind of call story. It's a healing story. And embedded in it is a calling. It's an interesting way. And I think, for me, a more relevant understanding of how Jesus calls me. Oftentimes, we hear about call stories like Jesus just shows up and says, "You," and then let's go. Do it. Jesus calls you on the phone, and you answer, and you do it. And I would love to have that kind of call story. And I don't have that kind of call story. Maybe I don't answer the phone. I like to let it go to voicemail, or maybe Jesus doesn't show up in that way all the time. Maybe it is more of a process. And I wonder if maybe it is that we don't know that God is calling us because we don't know how God calls us. And maybe we could understand that there's a diversity of call. That we are all called, and we are all called in different ways. We all have gifts and we all have graces, but they do not look the same. None of us is the same. So we will not be called and will not have the same relationship with God that our neighbors do. And that is okay. In this story, this is the reason why I wanted to share this story. And if you want to disagree with me about my interpretation, that's totally fine. I would love to have a hermeneutical conversation with you. We could have that one after church too. Anyway, in this story, I love it, in the Gospel of Mark, the writer of Mark is very intense. And I don't know if you noticed, but I might be kind of in that vein. But Jesus goes to Jericho, and then Jesus leaves immediately. Jesus is always on the move in the Gospel of Mark. Things happen really fast. And in this little pericope, in this little passage of scripture, Jesus is on the move intensely, and then Jesus stops. In one translation I read, it said, Jesus stopped in his tracks. In said, "Jesus stood still." I like thinking about Jesus taking the time to pause in the midst of his busy ministry. Jesus stops in his tracks and hears Bartimaeus yelling, hollering, calling out to him. Jesus goes and finds Bartimaeus and then asks him, "What is it you want me to do for you?" It's helpful for me to hear that Jesus doesn't just zap Bartimaeus and make him well, but that Jesus works with Bartimaeus, and that the healing is dependent upon the mutual participation. So, I'd like to talk a little bit about a method of discernment, calling, if you will, in our lives, that follows this model, this message from Scripture. We're going to talk a little bit today about the process of examen, E-X-A-M-N, E-X-A-M-E-N, examen. It comes from our monastic tradition. Like, there are lots of monastic traditions. The Benedictines celebrate hospitality. The Carmelites, they celebrate Carmel. And this comes from Ignatius. Ignatius of Loyola was around in the 1500s. And living in community, living in a monastery, is not easy. And they come up with, these monastics come up with a lot of brilliant tactics and strategies for learning how to live with one another and learning how to practice this thing called Christianity. So this is an examen from Ignatius, the Ignatian examen, which is a way of understanding God's call in your life. This is a method of prayer that helps us discern how God is present in our lives, and it tells us, reminds us what is good and bad, and tells us about God. I think that discernment is an essential part of personal development and helpful in our lifelong path of learning our purpose. The examen is a fancy word of saying, asking questions. And basically it is simply taking time to stand still, to pause, to stop in your tracks, and to ask yourself, what is it that I'm most grateful for today? Or, when was it that I felt most alive today? And then taking a moment to consider what it is that gives you life. And then taking a moment to consider, when was I least alive today? What was soul-sucking for me today? When did I feel drained? This is the practice. I don't know if any of you have ever been to camp. At the end of the day, we go through highs and lows. This is the Ignatian examen. Basically asking yourself, what were my highs today? What were my lows? And over time, as you practice this process of discernment, you'll find what it is that gives you life, what it is that fills your soul with joy. And when you find what it is that gives you life, do that. And also, you'll find what it is that sucks the soul out of you, what it is that is not life-giving to you. And then, I humbly ask you to stop doing those things, or to avoid the things that suck the soul out of you. Practicing this examen helps us see moments as part of the whole. And then it guides us that we have been living moment to moment to moment, and it's all together been imbued with the presence of God, guiding you, showing you paths of life and wholeness, and trying to show you paths that are not going to be healthy for you. Drawing you into a greater consciousness of the presence of God, who guides you, who is within you, who is present with you every moment. Let's practice this, all right? So, take a moment and breathe. And I'll offer these words from Psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. So consider the last 24 hours. When did you feel most alive? If you want to, maybe you can even write it down. Take a moment then to think, in the last 24 hours, when did you feel drained? When did you feel like the soul was getting sucked out of your body? We take moments to pause, like Jesus did, to examine and to question, and to be healthy. As our week begins, may we remember to pause and practice. In so doing, may we be more alive and aware of the presence of God, and all that God is doing to guide and shape and give purpose to our lives. May we do more of what gives us life and makes us happy. And I give you permission to stop doing the things that don't make you happy. Let the rest go. May your life shine.
Thank you.
and we give each other as we need, as we are able. I invite you to continue in this spirit of prayer.
Thank you. say I feel called, and that I have been feeling called to be a safe person for people to share their real selves. And so I am starting a grief group for all kinds of losses. I mean, it could be a death, it could be change in lifestyle, illness, dashed hopes. And it's going to be four sessions, and beginning Thursday, November 8th, going every Thursday with Skippy Thanksgiving, and ending on December 6th. And $25 includes all four sessions. And except for the money that I use for cotton, I'll give it back to the church in one of my pledges that I have quit giving to.
Thanks, Kevin.
Last call Christmas program. I need to start assigning some parts, so make up your minds if you want to be in it or not. Better if you're in it than not in it, so sign up in the back. Cool.
And our big announcement is that Rob and Mary are heading south for a few weeks, and I think maybe some other folks start this process around this time of the year, so I want you to know that when you go, that we recognize that you go, and we can't wait for you to come back. So if it's okay with you, Rob and Mary, we want to bless you as you leave, and maybe we'll bless you. Are you folks leaving?
No,
Muriel. Oh my gosh! Thank you! Yes! What a wonderful idea. Muriel, is it okay if we bless you too? Okay. Do we want to just stay right there? Well, we'll get you when you go. When you go, let me know. And we do want to acknowledge that you leave, and we want to bless you when you go. And, oh my gosh. Is there anything you want to say, Muriel?
I'm enjoying being at home more than any other church. You guys love each other, and you do things for us. And I have a nice pastor, and I'm sorry to go, but I have to.
Yep. And sometimes we have to go, and we know that. And we also know that it doesn't matter where you go, we love you. God has bound us together with cords of love that can never be broken. And we love you now, and we'll love you forever, and we'll love you in Red Wing. Is that where you're going? We'll love you in Red Wing. And we'll love you in Florida. You can go, but it doesn't matter. You can't escape love. We're bound together, and that's what we remember and celebrate now. And we're going to bless you. If that's okay, I'm going to put my hand on you, Muriel. And if you folks want to, just open your hands and put them in your lap, or just grab onto the hand of the person that you love next to you. If you don't love them, grab them anyway. Gracious God, you are the open door that nothing can shut. You help us to come and you help us to go, and we know that you are with us wherever we go. We walk through these doors and there you are. We walk in and we walk out and you follow us. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for Muriel. And I pray a blessing on Muriel that she might know how much God loves her and that you might be healthy and whole. And I pray a blessing on Rob and Mary, that you might have traveling mercies, and that you might enjoy your time in Florida. And when you come back, we'll see you again. Every blessing, Muriel and Rob and Mary. Amen.